This morning, God has led me to speak on this theme: the needs have not changed. The needs have not changed. Unless you've been living under a rock, and I don't think anybody has been, we're living in unprecedented times. No question about it. In my lifetime, for sure, there has never been this kind of worldwide drama that continues to play out. It seems that we could not hear anything more about whatever is happening, and it's so multifaceted, it's amazing. By the way, I'm not downplaying any spiritual, physical, or emotional suffering that multiplied millions and millions of people have endured in the last couple years. It is not my intention today, and I'm reading this because I've spent time praying about the wording here at the beginning. It is not my intention to turn our attention to this multifaceted current events that we have in our life, all of us do. It is, however, my intention to bring us back to who and what are still the greatest needs of the people of Canada and even the entire world. Those needs have never changed. It matters not what happens in our world. Those needs will never change. They will be the same. The greatest need today, in case you're wondering, is not climate change. You hear about that every once in a while? Climate change, climate change. I'm not here to talk about it. I'm just here to say that's not the greatest need of the world in which we live. The greatest need is not a new prime minister. Maybe some of you were disappointed. Maybe some of us were disappointed in the election last week. That's not the greatest need Canada has, is a new prime minister. The greatest need is not a balanced budget. That's not the greatest need. Oh, but some are so concerned about climate change and a balanced budget, and what is Mr. Trudeau going to do now? Those aren't the greatest needs that we have in our life today. The greatest need is not better health care. That's not the greatest need. I didn't say it wasn't a need, by the way. I just said it wasn't the greatest need. The greatest need is not a vaccine. That's not the greatest need. The greatest need is not all COVID restrictions ending. That's not the greatest need. The greatest need is not lower taxes. The greatest need is not more education. It's not the greatest need. And we could continue to go on and on and on and on about all of these things that are put in front of our face 24 hours a day if we choose to allow them to be in front of our face, but they are not the greatest need. You're not going to get the greatest need on News 1130. They're not going to tell you what the greatest need is. Oh, they're going to tell you what we need and what the country needs and this and that and all of it, and it's just probably going to cause us to be a little more discouraged. No, the greatest need that we have in our country today is the same need that they had in Ephesus in Acts chapter 19. Nothing has changed. Oh, the world has changed for sure. I'm talking about the need. The need has not changed. It's still there. It's still my need. It's still your need. The proclamation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection, is still the greatest need that every human being has to hear the glorious gospel message. Religion cannot bring what the gospel can. Oh, this world has religion from head to toe. You can find all kinds of religions. They seem like they're being started all the time. Religion will do nothing for me. It will do nothing for you. Religion is not the greatest need. No, my friend, a relationship with the Creator God is the greatest need that you have. It's the greatest need that I have. And think about that. The Creator God wants to have a relationship with you. In the beginning, God. That Creator God who spoke this world into existence, who formed everything with his voice, who said, let there be light, and there was light, who said, let there be animals, and there were animals, who created man in his own image. That Creator God loves you today. That Creator God loves sinners like you and sinners like me. And he's saying, look, I'm your greatest need, not what the world has to offer. Oh, the greatest need we have is a relationship with God. And the fact that God says in his word that he loves us is an unbelievable miracle. You realize God loves you. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. The Bible says in 1 John, we love him because he first loved us. Well, the greatest need that our world has today is to hear those words, God loves you. Oh, the great need we have today, it's the same. It hasn't changed. The gospel message, what does it bring? It brings salvation. The death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, what does it bring? Praise the Lord, it brings forgiveness. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. In verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection brings forgiveness. If we were all honest, we would say, I'm guilty. I've broken God's law. And even if you weren't honest, you would be guilty because you would be lying. Because you have broken God's law, and I have broken God's law. And when you break God's law once, you've broken all of them, the Bible says. So I'm guilty. I stand before you, a pastor, but I stand before you guilty. My greatest need is not to be a pastor. My greatest need is not to be anything. My greatest need is to be forgiven. And I'm glad that as a 9-year-old boy, I said yes to Jesus. He came in and he gave me forgiveness. Undeserving of it, by the way. Unworthy of it, by the way. But I'm glad he's still saving souls even today. This message brings healing. It brings healing. On Friday nights, we have the opportunity here at RU every once in a while to hear different testimonies. During the first talk, it's testimony time. And if you've never been to an RU meeting, you need to come and be a part of one meeting in RU. Friday night, 7 o'clock. Robert was here visiting on Friday night. It was so good to have him. He's attended the last couple of Sunday meetings here, and he came Friday night. And we hear testimonies, and we hear testimonies about how God took us from this, and now we're this. And it has nothing to do with us, but it has everything to do with his grace. That's the greatest message. That's the message that we still need today. It brings healing. It brings peace. It brings hope. Now, in Acts chapter 19, let's get into the text. The Apostle Paul is on his third missionary journey. He's passing through Ephesus. We find that in verse number 1. He's passing through Ephesus. Remember, if we remember from previous lessons, he had promised them he would try to come back. Now he's done that. He's come back to the city of Ephesus where a church has been established. And he would write a book later on to this church. Maybe you've read it before. Maybe you've seen it in your Bible, the book of Ephesians. It would be written later on and sent to this church, a letter from Paul, much like he would do with many of the churches that were started. And we have those letters right here in the Word of God. And we can learn from them even today. Isn't that amazing? We have the inerrant, inspired, infallible Word of God. It's God-breathed. This book that you have today with you, the B-I-B-L-E, this is God's Word. This is not man's Word. We hold in our hands the Word of God. Let's look at three things by way of an outline this morning. Number one, a disciple is not always a believer. Now, I'm not talking about the disciples. I'm talking, although one of them wasn't a believer, right? Well, Judas Iscariot, he was a disciple, but he wasn't a believer. Even he was a counterfeit, a hypocrite, if you will. But a disciple is not always a believer. Verse number 1, the Bible gives us the word disciples. What is a disciple? A disciple is a learner. A learner. And by the way, after we get saved, we should have a desire to be disciples. to be disciples. But not everyone that says, I'm a disciple, is saved. We're going to look at that and see that from this text of Scripture today. It does not always refer to someone who is a born-again Christian. Go with me, please, in your Bible, back to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. I'll remind you that our Bible was not written in chapters and verse form. I don't believe that the chapter divisions and verses are inspired. But this is an interesting, verse. It's John 6:66. You ever heard those three numbers together before? Look what it says in John 6:66. From that time, many of his disciples went back. And notice, and walked no more with him. We're also told, as we go back in our Bible to Acts 19, that in the last days, even the very elect will fall away. Why were the disciples, and again, please don't get confused, I'm not talking about Peter, James, and John, but I'm talking about the people that were following Jesus for his 3 years of ministry. Many would follow him. Hundreds would follow him. Why were they following him? I don't know why all of them were following him. Possibly they wanted to hear what he had to say. They really liked what he had to say. Maybe I know this for sure, his public speaking ability would have been the best. I look forward to hearing him in heaven. Amen? But, you know, he kind of did some things that drew crowds, didn't he? I've never been able to take a bucket of water and turn it into the best grape juice in town. But he did that. I've never been able to take a little lunch and pray over it and bless it and break it and feed 5, 10, maybe 15,000 people and have 12 baskets left over. But he did that. Can you imagine what it must have been like in that day to begin hearing about it over and over again? Healed a blind man and on it would go. I would dare say that many people followed him simply because of the miracles. They were there to see the next one. We'd all be prone to want to see a miracle, wouldn't we? By the way, let's not overlook your life and mine. If you're saved today, if you're on your way to heaven, that is a miracle. If you know that Jesus Christ is in his Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God is living in you, I'm telling you, that's a miracle. In fact, that's a greater miracle than even some of the miracles that we read of, because you're on your way to heaven. I mean, that bread, I'm not taking away from the miracles. I'm just saying that bread that those people ate in that miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, they got hungry the next day. Jesus even talked to them about that, remember? Because they just wanted to see another miracle. You forgot about the loaves of the 5,000 and then the 7,000 and on it would go. Unfortunately, though, they had not allowed the truth to make it inside their heart. Look at what Paul begins to do in verse number 2 as we go back to our text. Notice what, and I'm not necessarily referring to these 12 men, but I'm referring to a group that we'll look at the end here, the end of the preaching. Very sad ending to this text. Look at verse 2, though. Paul asks them a question. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? I want to stop right here and I want to ask you that question. Have you received the Holy Ghost? We don't have to answer it out loud, but I want you to think about it. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? You know, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit can be confusing. It can be challenging. But we believe that God has three parts, if you will. He is Father, He is Son, He is Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost, same thing. And all three are one. But each one is also God. So Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost? I want to talk to us this morning, not to these 12 men, about these 12 men, but I want us to think about that in our own life. Have we received the Holy Ghost since we believed? And if you're thinking, I'm not sure, then you need to search the Scriptures. You need to see in the Word of God that yes, when you get saved, the Holy Ghost comes in to live inside you. I'm afraid today that we have many people in churches like Anchor Baptist Church, and shame on me, maybe not done a better job teaching, and other churches that have no idea who is the Holy Ghost. What's the Holy Ghost? Is that just some? Is that a white sheet that floats around like Casper? I don't want to talk about the Holy Ghost because, you know, then we got to talk about this and we got to talk about that, which we're going to talk about some of those things in just a minute. But, oh, ladies and gentlemen, just as much as these 12 men were questioned with something, I question you. I question me today. Do we have the Holy Ghost? Or are we still waiting on Him to come into our life? Paul was not attacking them. These learners were ignorant, but not willfully ignorant. Did you notice the statement? We don't really know. What an honest statement. It's right there. Do you see it? In verse number 2. And they said, we have not so much as heard. We don't really know. No one's ever told us. So that is an ignorance, but that is not a willful ignorance. Look, friend, you have the Bible. We said that earlier, right? We have God's Word available to us in print. We can go online and we can look at commentaries about the Bible. Be careful about some of that. But we can look at a Strong's Concordance online. We can look up what words mean in Hebrew when they were originally written, or Greek and what they were originally written. I mean, we have the full Word of God from Genesis all the way to Revelation. There isn't going to be anything else revealed. This is it right here. And God speaks to us through His Word. I'm not waiting for heaven to open up tomorrow morning and for this big booming voice to come out of heaven and say, Ben, do this. I'm not waiting for that. I don't need to wait for that. I've got the Word of God that tells me how to live my life. And then inside me, I have His Spirit directing me according to the Word of God. This is not something that is just for me. I'm not saying I'm special. I'm no more special than anyone in this room today. But I know this, as a believer, we have been given the Holy Ghost of God to have power. How come we're not getting victory? We have the Spirit of God living in us. It could be because we're not yielding to the Spirit of God. Therefore, victory is not coming. We're struggling with this or that or the other thing. And right inside of us is the power of God just waiting to be unleashed. Think about it. You have and I have living inside of us the very power of God, not to be used for our own gratification, but to be used to bring honor and glory to Him, to be used to have victory and live in joy and have peace and all of that right inside of us. And so as I read this, and I read it a little bit different this time, do you know if you have the Holy Ghost? I looked at it a little bit different this time. And I thought, I wonder how many Christians live as if they don't have the Holy Ghost. I wonder how many times I live my life as if I don't have God's Spirit living inside of me. I just wing it. I'm just going to do it like this. And inside of me, I've got the Holy Spirit of God saying, hey, I've got a better way. Just listen to me. These men, remember, when we think of the book of Acts, remember, though, we've talked about it before. Acts is a time of transition. It's a time of transition. There was no church. Think about it. There was no church until, there's different ways people look at it. Jesus started with His disciples. It was empowered at Pentecost. There's other different ways of looking at it, but we know for sure there was no church prior to this. The church being established and empowered at Pentecost, and on it goes. So this is a brand new thing, the church. Also, it was brand new that people would be indwelt by the Spirit of God. We realize that in the Old Testament, this did not happen. The Spirit would come on people, but not indwell believers in the Old Testament. We know that remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, if I go, I will send the Comforter unto you, the Holy Ghost. So he said, look, it's better for me to go than it is for me to stay. Think about it. And I think we heard this recently somewhere. I don't remember where it was. Maybe it was Wednesday night. But Jesus could only be in one place at one time, in his physical body. And that's why he said, look, I'm going to go. I'm going back to heaven. But I'm going to send someone who's going to be with you all the time. Go to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, quickly. Matthew 28. Look what it says in Matthew 28, 20. Many of you know this verse. Teaching them. Matthew 28, 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Jesus is about ready to go back to heaven. He's already died. He's already been buried. He's already risen again. And he's about to go back to heaven. He does it five times. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. Five times he gives the Great Commission. Teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I am with you always. God's Spirit would be with us to the end of the world. These learners, again, were not ignorant. They were ignorant, but not willfully. But notice what happened. Look at verse, and he said unto them, what then were ye baptized? And they said unto John's baptism. Then said Paul. So now Paul is going to give them more information, what they haven't heard. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the what? Word of God. I don't know what the numbers are today, but I know that there are many people that have never even read the Bible in their own language one time. They've never read the Bible in their own language, which is why we support printing of the Word of God. Printing of the Word of God. The Bible says, though, here that, verse 5, when they heard this, again, this is why I say these 12 men were teachable. They were not willfully. They were not saying, I don't want to hear anymore. I've heard enough. I've learned enough. That's willful ignorance. These men listened. And as soon as they heard what they were told, look what it says in verse number 5. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. In other words, they went ahead and did whatever it was Paul was teaching them to do. First time they heard it, they submitted to the leadership of the Apostle Paul. That leads us to number 2, a confrontation with truth. A confrontation with truth. John's baptism was unto repentance. It was what prepared the way for Jesus Christ. These 12 men, as the Bible tells us in verse number 7, are now learning of Jesus Christ and his death and his burial and his resurrection. How is that possible, we might say? Well, I'll tell you how it's possible. There's no Google. There's no CNN. There's no Fox News. News doesn't travel like it does today. And you think about something happens in our world today and how quickly news travels. There was nothing like that in this day. And so news was still spreading out about the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't know if there was even the Holy Spirit. They said that. What did these men need to do? They needed to make a decision about Jesus Christ. Think about this now. They needed to make a decision about Jesus Christ. Can we go back to our theme of today? The need has never changed. The same need today for some people in this world, for many people in this world, for millions of people, possibly billions of people, the same great need is still needed. The same great need is there today. Who's Christ? What does he mean? Is he your Savior? Have you put your faith and trust in him? This was the great need that these 12 men had. They needed to make a decision about Jesus Christ. Now, notice Paul did not tell them to receive the Holy Spirit. He did not tell them they needed to receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 4. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him. Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. They should believe on him which should come after him, come after John. He was preparing the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, and there it is, on Christ Jesus. Paul never said anything to them about receiving the Holy Ghost. Don't miss this. We have much confusion in quote-unquote Christianity today about the Holy Spirit. Paul never said, receive the Holy Spirit. He said, receive Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He didn't say receive the Holy Spirit. Because he knew that if they received Christ, the Holy Spirit would come right after that. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. His challenge was Christ and Christ only. They received Paul's message, as we looked at that already. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and this was acknowledged by the laying on of hands by the apostles in verse number 6. Wow, look what happens. Look at verse 6. And they spake with tongues and prophesied. These new believers spoke in tongues. What was this? What was this? Well, it's quite possible that there would have been a very international group of people there that day for where they were meeting. Ephesus was a very busy place for many people to come and do their business. There would be people there that spoke this language and that language. Amazing. Amazing supernatural ability to speak in tongues. This is not something that's in our Bibles by error. Now, what is it to speak in tongues? Speaking in tongues is speaking in languages. Known languages. It is not, there is no such thing as a heavenly language. It means that whatever language they spoke in, there was somebody there that would speak that language too. And we could do it right here this morning if we had time. There are so many languages that could be spoken in this room right here. It's absolutely amazing. And you know what I would say? You're speaking in that tongue or that language. This supernatural ability was given many times in our Bible, as you see it, because at the beginning of the church, this was to spread the gospel, and there was one thing they didn't have yet. Anybody know what they didn't have yet at the beginning of the church? Good job, Brother Dennis. They did not have this. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us, then that which is perfect is come. God's word. Then that which is in part shall be done away. You see, Paul didn't say receive the Holy Ghost because Paul knew that when they received Christ, they would have the Holy Ghost. And that's why today we don't want to overemphasize, but we don't want to de-emphasize as well the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, my friends, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit of God is vital for us to understand as believers, because without the power of the Holy Spirit of God, we are no match for the world. We are no match for the flesh, even our own flesh, and we're no match for the devil himself. But with the Spirit of God, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. With the Holy Spirit of God, we can have victory over stubborn habits. With the Holy Spirit of God, we can have victory over bitterness. With the Holy Spirit of God, we can have victory over unforgiveness. And with the Spirit of God, we can have victory over our thought life, and on it goes. All because we yield to the Holy Spirit of God. And as the Bible says in Ephesians, be filled with the Spirit of God. Meaning, let God's Spirit have control. That comes on a daily basis or maybe a multi-daily basis. His challenge was Christ and Christ alone. This was a supernatural ability to speak. Tongues was a sign gift. We've got to move ahead here. Tongues was a sign gift that ceased with the completion of the Word of God. Go to 1 Corinthians quickly. 1 Corinthians 14, please. 1 Corinthians 14. You say, Pastor Turner, do you believe people speak in tongues today? Yes, I hear people speak in different languages every day. But not what is talking about here, this supernatural ability to just go ahead and speak a different language as it happened in Acts chapter 2. But tongues is languages. Again, we have different denominations that would view that completely differently. And I would say to you, be very careful, because many of them attach that to salvation. Be very careful. There are some that would say today, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. That's not in the Scripture. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. But according to His mercy, He saved us. So be careful. The Holy Spirit, vital. Speaking in tongues to go to heaven, false doctrine. False doctrine. That's why I love this, again, this challenge as we come to this, working our way through verse by verse, chapter by chapter, this great challenge of, do you even know if you have the Holy Ghost? I think that's a personal question we need to answer today. And then, okay, do we know we have the Holy Ghost? How do we know we have the Holy Ghost? How's that making a difference in our life? 1 Corinthians 14, look at verse 22, please. Wherefore, tongues are for a what? 1 Corinthians 14, 22. Sorry, I didn't give you the text. They're for a what? Sign. To who? Not to them that believe. So why do we have churches all over today, or several churches maybe in our community today, that they're going to have all kinds of speaking in tongues in their church service today, and a lost man walks in, quote-unquote speaking in tongues, okay? And I've talked to people before that have been into those services and said, I have no idea what was going on. I've heard that multiple times. Tongues is not to them that believe. It's supposed to be, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Well, isn't it good we have a Bible? We can go to God's Word, and God's Word will answer itself, and the Bible interprets itself. What is the greatest need for these 12 men? The gospel message in its entirety. What is the greatest need for every member of your family? The gospel message in its entirety. What is the greatest need for our community? The gospel message in its entirety. The greatest need for BC and every province in this great country and territory? The gospel message in its entirety. That's the great need. Then number three, lastly, we see that a consistent witness brings results. A consistent witness brings results. If you have been on this journey with us, you will know that Paul is a man of great boldness, of which I would love to have more of in my life. Boldness. Acts 4:29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with boldness they may speak the word. Ephesians 6:19, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. We could say that Paul was a man who did not water down the message. He taught of Christ and his salvation without backing down, even in the midst of religious persecution. Look at verse number 8. He, Paul, as he would do so many times, went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of how much time? 3 months, isn't that, that's a miracle that he could stay alive for 3 months and preach like he preached. Because sometimes one sermon would get him to where they'd want to kill him. What was he attacking? He wasn't attacking anything. He was preaching truth. You know what truth does? Truth divides. Truth divides. When sometimes people hear the truth and truth doesn't match their religion, people get really upset about that. Now, wait a minute. That's not what I've heard my entire life. We have to be sensitive. We have to be kind. Sometimes we don't give everybody the whole boatload in the first time we talk to them. We have to be led by the Holy Spirit. Because somebody who's been in a religious system for 40 and 50 years and then all of a sudden hears that their religious system is false. Think about how you would take that. You were in something for 30 or 40 years and then somebody came to you and said, oh, by the way, your religious system is going to send you to hell. Well, maybe you shouldn't say it quite like that your first time you talk to somebody, right? Let the Holy Spirit of God do some tenderizing a little bit there. You know, how would you take that? There's nobody in here that would take that and just say, oh, okay, all right. Not the first time. There's touches of the gospel that help us to come to truth. But Paul spake boldly for the space of 3 months, look at disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Acts 28:31, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding. For 3 entire months he would preach and teach in one synagogue. Something the Lord laid on my heart was not just that they would hear him for 3 months, but they would see him for 3 months. Think about this. They would see him for 3 months. What does that mean? Sometimes actions speak louder than words. He didn't just blow in, preach a message, and then out. He did it for 3 months. They watched him. They listened to him. They saw that he wasn't perfect, of course, because no one is except Jesus Christ. But they saw that his message matched his walk. Oh, for all of us to ask God to help us in that area of our life. That our Sunday look would match our weekly look. I'm just saying that we wouldn't put on a facade. That we would be genuine. And it's only by God's grace that we can be that. Only by God's grace. But as I thought about that, I thought, okay, for 3 months he came and went, came and went, came. He demonstrated in front of their eyes how it was to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. But I don't mean to end on a negative note, but it's something that really broke my heart as I finished reading and preparing verse number 9. Would you look at it with me quickly? But when divers were, what's that next word? Hardened. Why were they hardened? The next two words. Or three words. They believe not. For 3 months, thus saith the Lord, this is the message of Jesus Christ. This is the truth. Walk ye in it. Come to Christ. It's not a system, it's a relationship. Over and over and over and over and over and over again for 3 months. And the Bible says, divers, many, various ones, they believe not. And because they believe not, eventually their heart was hardened. As I read that, I thought of some people, even in my own life, that I'm praying for to get saved. Who have heard and heard and heard and heard and heard and heard. Just like this. And there comes a day where you hear it for the last time and the heart hardens. And not even a spiritual jackhammer could get into that heart. Because it's hardened to the truth. And notice it went a step further. It said not only were they hardened and they didn't believe, but notice what it says, they spake evil So not only did their heart harden, but now they became enemies of the truth. He departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. This continued by the space of 2 years. Praise the Lord for this last statement. So that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus. Remember, he wanted to go there first, and the Holy Spirit said, no, can't go that way yet. Go this way. Now, full circle, everyone in the area heard the word of the Lord Jesus. I wonder if there's someone listening this morning who has heard the gospel. You're joining us online. You've heard the gospel. You've heard it for months, for years. I want to say beware, beware, because the hardening process is underway. Don't reject that gift. Go with me lastly as we bring this message to a close to John 12. John 12. I give you this last warning from God's word. John 12. Thank you for listening. John 12, 34, the people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light. Praise God, this morning we have the light. We have the gospel in front of us. We're hearing the gospel right now, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, here it is, yet they believed not. You know what I've heard people say? If I could only see a miracle, I would believe. I disagree. I disagree. People before you, long before you and long before me, saw miracles and never believed. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be what, church? Converted. Oh, and I should heal them. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, the greatest need. Again, I'm telling you, there's a lot of needs in our world today. A lot of needs in our world today. But none is greater in the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. None is greater than a right relationship with the Holy God. And with sin and not been forgiven and not been applied the blood of Christ, I'm going to have to pay. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. This death is told in Revelation 20 that it is hell forever, lake of fire. That's what I deserve. That's what you deserve as a sinner. But oh, remember, we said right in the beginning of the message, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. The greatest message. You're Christian. You're already saved and on your way to heaven. Do you realize you have the Holy Ghost living in you? Let's not live as if we don't. Let's live as if we do.